capitolo.
I'm only joking. I've got to keep the energy up from your worship. Your worship's amazing. It reminds me so much of when we began LBC. And it's the closest thing that I've got to those beginning years when we was worshiping this morning. It's incredible. So I must continue with that same energy. I can't drop it below. It is good to be with you guys. It's always great to be with like-minded people, and LBC Her Screen is very much in line, same spirit as what the vision began out of LBC, and the planting of churches, the way you do church, just your heart, everything behind it, it's so similar. Now, the reason why you haven't seen me and Helen here much in recent years now, Let me do the talking today. The reason why is because Nick hasn't invited us. Oh. Everyone else invites me.
I don't believe that, bro.
He just doesn't invite me. And there's one thing that I must say that I'm like a little bit disappointed. The only thing I'm disappointed with Her Screen is you've started laughing at his jokes. They're not. I am the funniest person in LBC, hands down.
But, no prizes, no recommendation.
Well, actually, you should read your Bible, because Moses wrote he was the most humblest of all people. So technically, biblically, it is okay. Anyway, me and you aren't going to talk. I'm going to preach. This is the reason why I don't come to Her Screen. That was it. That was the reason. Nick's invited me lots and lots of times. I'm like, is Brian there this week? Oh, I'm actually fully booked. But no, it is great to be with you, and I am really pleased that you guys have started getting used to Nick's sense of humour. That was the one worry I had. I knew his heart was amazing. I knew that he'd plant churches and he'd just take it forward and do what needed to be done. You know, he has a no compromise with sin. One thing you know about Nick, it's no compromise sin. You know where you stand with him. Yeah. So nobody could say, I didn't realize. No, you know where you stand with him. It's worth clapping, yeah. But the kingdom of God is very much like that as well. You know where you stand. Look, we have put grey areas and we've watered things down. But the word of God stands strong and it doesn't change and it never has changed. It never will change. And so even though the world is shifting the goalposts, the word of God, it doesn't shift with it. And so we must continue to protect the word. We must continue to hold it high, be proud of it, shout it aloud from the rooftops. Today I wanted to speak about opportunities and take your opportunity. This young man gave, what's your name again, sorry? Mikna. Are you Greek? Romanian. Thought it was going to be Greek then. I was going to say, I won't try any Greek words then. Because he'd just be like, that's not how you pronounce it. He's a fraud. Aaron's a fraud. So I was listening to him just sharing his story. And he mentioned this. He said, I just wasn't going to lose the opportunity. I'm going to take the opportunity. And I said, oh, good. We'll talk definitely about take the opportunity. Now, I never asked for any verses to be put on the computer because they was having problems with the stuff when I came in. Is it easy just for me to say, can you put Philippians 1 verse 12 to 14 up or not? If it's not, it's not a problem. I'll just paraphrase. If we go Philippians 1 verse 12 to 14, we'll just keep that as our word. I won't keep putting new scriptures up. So I'm hoping that you all know the word of God. So then if you hear something and you go, not sure about that, we can talk after. We'll get the word out and we'll make sure that what I said is correct. Because just because a man says something from the front, precisely. Let's go Philippians 1 verse 12 to 14. I think Paul should be in prison at this stage. And he's saying, look, these chains, I'm paraphrasing now. These chains, they're not stopping the gospel. I'm going to take this opportunity and use it. And people are getting strengthened and bold with producing and continuing in the gospel because of these chains. That should be the context of those two, three verses. That teach me to bring my Bible in with me instead of leaving it in the car. Anyway, let me pray while that goes up. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your love. We thank you, Jesus. You're the way, you're the truth, you're the life. There's no other way to the Father except through you. You share your throne with no other. You're the Lord of lords. You're the King of kings. You're the name above every name. And Father, we humbly come before you today. We come around your word. We come in worship and adoration of what you've done, what you're doing, and what you will do. And so, Father, we just thank you. We thank you. We never forget. Where would we be today if it wasn't for you? Where would we be today? It is Christ that saved us. It is Christ that went to a cross to take away the sin for mankind, to cover over that it would never be spoken of again in the courts of heaven. And Father, for all those that have called on your name, for all those that have believed on you, for all those that have chosen to follow you, when you look at us, you no longer see the sin that has clouded our lives, but you see cloak of righteousness, you see your own. And so, Father, we come before you as your very own. And we say, Lord, not my will be done, not our will be done, but your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, I desire to have you know, brothers, that the things which happened to me have turned out rather to progress to the progress of the good news, so that it became evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my bonds are in Christ. And that most of the brothers in the Lord, being confident through my bonds or my chains, are more abundantly bold to speak the word of God without fear. Paul writes the book of Philippians from prison. He writes Colossians. He writes several letters from this place of being chained. Now, on home arrest, whether it's home arrest or whether it was chained up in those inner places. If you remember Acts chapter 16, when Paul and Silas are thrown into prison, into the inner cell, the Bible says, and they were chained. Why? Because they went around, they took an opportunity, they did good. They were preaching the kingdom of God. There was a woman that was possessed, and she constantly is badgering. And what might have seemed like it was a good thing she was saying, it was to become a hindrance to the kingdom of God. Paul, Silas, thrown into prison. Earthquake comes, chains break, doors fly open. You know the story. They took an opportunity when many of us might not have taken an opportunity. Paul in Acts chapter 17. Remember when he's walking through a city and he sees all these idols. And he says, this city is full of idols. But he doesn't look and go, this is a religious people that don't want to know about Christ and move away. What he did was engage. He engaged by going with what they had. They had an altar that said to an unknown God. And he went to that altar and he said, you see this altar, this unknown God that you praise. Let me tell you the one that he is. Let me tell you his name. He's the name above all names. He's the name that saved each and every one of us in this room today. He's the name that covered our sin. He's the name that one day every man and woman will stand before. It is Jesus that we will stand before. While we're here on this earth, it is important that we take the opportunities that are given to us. It is important that we don't just take this freedom and this grace that has been given. Like the blood of Jesus that covered my sin, covered your sin. It didn't just cover it to leave us in that place of, okay, here's a ticket to heaven. Off you go. You've got your ticket. He gave us this truth, and truth must be shared. Truth is like light. Light in its very essence is meant to be revealed. And the truth is exactly the same. It's meant to be revealed. The truth has been given to me. The truth has been given to you. Now, what do we do with that truth? In the book of Esther, Esther is standing before a king. And she knows if the king doesn't call her in, Like, she can be put to death. She can't just go stand before him and say, I've got a request to bring to you. She needs to be invited in. She needs to be allowed in. And her uncle Mordecai says, Esther, there's a guy called Haman, and he's coming to kill all the Jews, and he's going to kill you as well. Like, you have come to this moment. You are in the palace for this moment. And maybe God is saying to you today that you are in your workplace, that you are in your situation, in your world for a time such as this. And if you don't do it, he'll send somebody else. We don't want anyone else to get our crowns. That's why we are so motivated in the way that we do life. That is why we are so motivated as a ministry, that if God has called us to do something, we're going to do it. We're going to take the opportunity. I want to encourage each and every one of us today to take the opportunities that come our way. Opportunities come our way on a daily basis. On a daily basis. That doesn't mean that everyone is like our brother, an evangelist that goes out on the street. Not everyone is an evangelist, but everybody is a witness. We are all witnesses. We preach the gospel at all times, and when necessary, we use words. We live our lives for the kingdom of God. We live our lives as witnesses to the outside world. Not everyone is going to go out on the streets. Maybe everybody should try it once in a while. It's good to be put out of your comfort zones. But there are evangelists among us that will go out onto the streets. That's their calling. That's their gift. Let them do it. Encourage them in it. Don't stop them from doing it. Encourage them. Open up. Give the resources to allow them to do what God has called them to do. But every single one of us can do one thing, and that's pray. Amen. Every single one of us was called to pray. Amen. Not one of us does not have the ministry of prayer. Not one of us has the exit of prayer's boring. I don't really get nothing out of prayer. No, all of us were called to prayer. Our busy services should be our prayer nights. They should be. But they're our most quietest nights. When I say ours, I'm not necessarily speaking for individual congregations, but I'm speaking as the church. Worldwide, nationwide, the church, the quietest night in the church, a lot of the time, is the engine room of the church, the prayer room. That should be the busiest, the most excitingest. That is where the battle is. Prayer isn't, if you like, you know, prayer is the battle, basically. Like, let's not try and make some nice sounding things that you remember. Let's just say it as it is. Prayer is the battle. Get to your knees in prayer. Get to your knees in fighting. This is how we take ground. And remember that the kingdom of God is forcefully advancing. The kingdom of God doesn't take steps back. The kingdom of God forcefully advances. Paul is in prison. And what does he do with his time in prison? He writes letters. He continues. He takes the opportunity, and he doesn't allow what was a horrible opportunity, if you like, horrible circumstances. He doesn't allow them to stop him from continuing with the furtherance of the gospel. NKJV says he continues with the furtherance of the gospel. The furtherance of the gospel is a military word, to advance, that a military army, they would advance. That's what's happening with the gospel. The gospel is advancing. We are an army. Why do you think the armor of God, if you remember Ephesians chapter 6, the armor of God, a very spiritual passage, and it speaks about a helmet of salvation. We've got the breastplate, the belt, the shield, the sword, the boots. There is nothing on our back. Nothing covering our back. Why? Because soldiers, warriors, we don't turn our back. That's not needing protection. We're not running away. We're going forward. Amen. And I like to say that our back is covered by our brothers and our sisters. But too many times within church, brothers and sisters are putting knives in people's backs. We can never be that people. We can never be those people. Disunity is what the enemy will use to disrupt a church. Disunity is what the enemy uses. Why? Because Jesus said that a house divided cannot stand. And so we must stay united. And I've preached this so many times about being united and standing together. Why? Because I know it is the key to victory. I know that if we don't stand together united, I know that we will fall, that cracks will come in. Let the outside world persecute the church as much as they want. We will continue to grow. Under persecution, the church grows. I think the church in the UK needs a bit of persecution, if I'm honest. I think the church needs to be persecuted. If you have a look at our church in Pakistan, so LBC Pakistan, they planted another church, a church in Sagoda. So there's two churches over in Pakistan. What happened 2 years ago, I think October, a couple of years ago, I always get my dates wrong, but the churches were burnt down when the Muslim extremists in Fazlabad were burning down churches and burning down the homes of Christians. What did our church go out the next day? What did the church go out and do the next day? They went and stood in the ashes. They went and stood in the ashes and said, we will build again.
Amen.
They didn't run. They didn't turn. They went full on. Why? Because the gospel is forcefully advancing. There's an opportunity at the moment. Now, God willing, I'd be praying. I'm not asking for donations, nothing like that. I'm just asking, be praying that God would give an opportunity, that God would sow the resources in that we need for this moment. But Pakistan, Fazlabad, we're ready to build. We've now got our registration. We've got our registration there. We're legal. The government can't stop us. We were trying to build before, but the government stopped us. Then the buildings, the places that we did have, it was being persecuted by the Muslims in the community. Then everything happened in that October when they were burning down the buildings. And so everything quieted down. But out of those ashes, those pastors stood in the ashes and they had a verse that said, beauty out of the ashes.
Amen.
And we said, yeah, one day when the time it were planned, but we needed to get our registration first. Sorry, one day we're built. Now that day has come when the registration is in. Everything's in play. Everything's ready. The piece of land has been brought. Now it's like, Lord, provide the resources. Provide the resources. Be praying. Be praying that God... Like, I want us as a church, as a movement, to have financial muscle that just can move around the world. Not for our benefit. Not that we would build nice homes. Not that we would have big cars or that pastors would get rich or members in the church. It's not about any of that. It's about having resources that can just further the gospel. Keep pushing it forward. Amen. Even in the hard times. That's why we're starting this thing about LBC businesses. We're starting it because we want to channel funds out of businesses that we make and start. We want a percentage that continually goes into the vision. Continually goes into the vision. At the same time creating jobs for new believers. Or mature believers among us. But wouldn't it be great when somebody comes in lost and they come in and we lead them to Jesus. We give them the spiritual food that they need. And then we can provide for their physical needs as well. That's the heart behind the whole business sense. It's not that we're going in a different direction. It's because I don't want to rely, if I'm honest, I don't want to rely and put a burden and pressure on the people within the church to have to keep financing things. I know we live in a world where the cost of living's gone up. I know that we live in a world where finances aren't easily just given away. I don't want us to be a burden. I also, the truth is, now I'm not necessarily speaking to any of you, so no one get offended, but I also don't trust. I can't put my trust in people. I can't put my trust that they'll still be there in 2 years' time, still giving to the church. I can't put my trust. Why? Because I've seen so many people come and go. I've seen so many people that I thought they were strong for Jesus, and then the world has grabbed hold of them, and they've run after something else. So this is why I want to open up a different way, a different funneling of channel, not because we've gone off the vision. This is to push the vision. This is to continue the work. This is so it doesn't rely on a burden for the people in the church. That's the heart behind it. And that's why this project in Pakistan, it costs 42,000 to build the church. We don't have 42,000. We don't have £42,000 spare. And even if we did, there's other priorities potentially closer to home that we'd have to... We've got to make sure we keep the lights on in the buildings and stuff like that. It's all these things. We don't have just an excess of finance that we can just throw away. And so it's a real step of faith. And that's why I say pray. Pray, not that, you know, I'm not asking you to pray every week, like, Lord, give money or move this person's heart to give money. Nothing like that. I'm just praying, Lord, should we do this? Because if God says do it, then we just put one foot in front of the other. I don't know how it comes. I don't know how it works. That bit doesn't bother me. I don't think about how it comes. I look at a verse in the Bible when it says that we've got basically all the riches from Christ. Like my father owns a cattle on a 1,000 hill. I'm not looking to man to provide, nothing like that. I'm not looking for the church to provide. I'm looking for God to provide. All I need you to pray is, should we do it? Like green light. If more of us in the church are praying, Lord, should we move in this direction? Because the moment we get a green light, all we do is put one foot in front of the other. Yeah. We don't know how we're getting there. We just do it. A building in King Standing. Like, I'm just talking things that probably shouldn't talk right now, but it's the way I do it. But there's a building that's become available in King Standing. They're going to shut the church down, and they're going to put it on the open market. And I'm like, put it on the open market? No. So I sent a message to the denomination that the church belongs to. And I just said, look, nothing frustrates me more. Nothing frustrates me more than the church is closing and then being sold, turned into mosques or turned into other places of worship or turned into apartments. Nothing frustrates me more. Can we have it? And so they said, look, we put you down to view it. There's other people going to view it as well. Have I got anyone to move to King's Standing to start a church? No, Lord, we want to further the gospel. We don't want a hindrance to the gospel. I'm only joking. Brian, you could be the man. Who knows? You could be the man. It's a rough area. Lord, take him home. So, King's Standing. Are we going to do it? Well, all I need is a green light. All I need is God to say, go for it. Then if they give us the building, I'll take the building. How are we going to afford it? I have no idea. I have no idea. I'm just going to take the opportunity. There's an opportunity there. We knock doors. You know, we knock doors. And if they open, we walk in. Have that way about you. Like opportunities are dancing on the dance floor, but unless you're on the dance floor, you don't get to dance with them. Like you've got to be on the floor to dance with them. Opportunities knock on the door. And if no opportunities are knocking on your door, build a door. Like, get it going. Look, we've got opportunities, responsibilities. We've got the greatest mission the world has ever seen. We've been given the gospel. We've been saved and set free, and now we must share it with the world. We must share it with our world. And so King's Standing, how are we going to do it? No idea. I'm not looking that far. Just pray. If LBC should take the building, the favour comes our way, we take the building. And then we'll take it. Then, when we're treading on that water, what we cannot do is what Peter did. Look around at the waves. Look around at the storm. Because if we do, if we look at all the negatives, if we look at all the things that are screaming at us saying, why are you doing this? We will begin to sink. Yesterday at the men's breakfast, I kind of shared a little bit of what I just shared then, hence why I think I just shared it again, because it's fresh on my mind. And I've got this condition when something's going in my head, I just have to say it out loud. I can't just keep it to myself. Otherwise, I'll be trying to preach in a minute and I'll still be thinking about this. So it's better I just get it out. So this is what I did yesterday. somebody came up to me at the end of the church. He said, King Standing? I was like, yeah, yeah. And he said, you do know Aaron, I live in King Standing. And I was like, no, no. And he told me the church that he used to go to. And he said, it's not such and such a church, is it? And I went, yeah, yeah, it is. He said, oh. He said, I left that church. I was there. I was going to become one of the leaders there, but I left the church. I said, why? He said, because of some of the teachings that were going on. You know, when churches close, sometimes we think the enemy's taking ground. In the book of Revelation, it's Jesus that blows out the candles. Like Jesus shuts churches. If you see the stats up and down this country, you start to worry. You start to fear, thinking that Christianity is dying, that the church is dying. No, it's not. The church is very much alive. Amen. What's dying is the old religious system. Amen. That's what's dying. That's not a bad thing. So don't worry when you've got people gloating from other faiths, in particular Islam. Don't worry when they gloat and they say, we're turning your churches into mosques and we're doing this and we're doing that and we're taking over. We're no longer taking part. We're taking over. Like, keep chatting, because that is just not happening. The church is thriving. The church is growing. God is very much alive and he's coming for an end time harvest. Amen. And the opportunity is for each and every one of us to get involved. And it should be the church involved. Not just Nick, not just this young man, not just Helen, not just individuals. It's for all of us to be part of. Because I tell you this, the devil's agents, they are fully committed. Amen. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. John chapter 10, verse 10. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. Thankfully, the rest of the verse goes on to say, but I've come that you may have life and have it in its fullness, or have it in abundance. Remember, we are on the winning team. Amen. We're on the winning team. We cannot lose. We've already won. Look, we've already won. If God was fearful, that spiritual armor, he would have put someone on our back. He would have. He would have thrown it in there because he'd know half us would be running. But Christians don't run. We don't. Christians over time have stepped into arenas with lions. Christians over time have been put on a stake and set on fire for Nero's pleasure. Christians over time, Christians today are being killed, persecuted for their faith. In Nigeria, so many of our brothers and sisters have been slaughtered just for their faith. Where's the pro-Palestinian marches for them? Where's the energy being put in for our brothers and sisters that are being killed around the world? The same energy isn't used. The same energy isn't used. Why? They're anti-Christ. They're not anti-God, but they're anti-Christ. You know, it's the name of Jesus. It's been watered down. It's become a curse word. I said this only yesterday. Like, how many times someone hit their thumb with a hammer and someone shouts, oh, Buddha, or oh, Muhammad. No, it's oh, Jesus Christ. All the time, they put Jesus as a curse word. They're desensitizing people to his name. Why? Because there is power, power, mighty, mighty power in the name of Jesus. It is the name of Jesus that breaks chains. It's the name of Jesus that will still, after history is gone, still be lifted high. It is the name of Jesus that saved you. It is the name of Jesus that is going to keep you. It is the name of Jesus that allows love and mercy to follow you. It is the name of Jesus that will defeat every attempt of the enemy. It is the name of Jesus that the devil is scared of. It is the name of Jesus that the establishment is scared of. It is the name of Jesus that is the greatest name above all names. And one day every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Take the opportunities that God gives to us. Like today, maybe I was coming with a sermon, but you kind of worshipped in a different type of way, so I didn't want to drop the energy, so I've gone in a different direction. And it's kind of more like a half-time interview, you know, when you're like a trainer with a football team and it's half-time, and you're like, come on, let's get out there. Like, come on. Any Villa fans in the house? Come on, the Villa.
Come on, that European team.
So... next Wednesday, when it's a European Cup final, when Aston Villa are playing in the European Cup final, imagine at half-time, Unai Emery is going to be in there, rallying the troops, saying, come on, boys, you're 45 minutes away. 45 minutes away from creating history. What was that song we sang? We sang a song, like, History Maker. Like, I'm going to be a history maker. Like, Aston Villa are about to make history, and I know that some of you won't like that, especially Nicky's a blue nose, but you won't like that. I understand that. But now put that analogy into our Christian talk right now. And that's what this is. We are 45 minutes, church, away from being a history maker. We are 45 minutes away from changing this world. Like, we have power beyond power beyond power. Like, those that are disciples will go out, they will lay their hands on the sick, and the sick will be made well. Amen. It's what the word says. But the problem is, so many of us don't get off our chairs, we don't take the opportunities. But too many of the church are being overtaken by those that have just gone, I'm going for it. Be one of those that says, I'm going for it. In whatever capacity, whatever context we're talking about for yourselves, go for it.
Amen.
Like, go make history. Change the world for someone. Because every one person you lead to Christ, the Bible says you cover over a multitude of sins. But every one person, it is revival for that person. It is revival for them. When I was a drug addict, when I was involved in crime, when I was suicidal, all those things from my testimony, my story, my pain, my heartache, whatever... in my story, when I came to faith, it was revival. I didn't know that the next, what the future held or anything. All I know, I'd received this joy. I was like the woman at the well. The woman at the well in the book of John. You see what happens with her? She goes to the well at noon. At noon, why? The heat of the day. Why go then? Because of all the shame and the guilt. And she didn't want everyone else speaking into her. So she would go at a time when no one else would be there. But the Bible tells me that someone was waiting there. That someone was Jesus. Amen. Jesus was already waiting at the well, the temporary wells of her life. The temporary wells, those five husbands. The temporary wells that are in your life, trying to fulfill, trying to sustain, trying to give you meaning. They're temporary wells, but there is a well that will never run dry, and his name's Jesus. And he's waiting at the well, and he's ready, and he's saying, come drink from me. And then when you drink from him, you can only do what that woman did. The woman at the well, she goes out running into the city and tells everyone. The very people she was hiding from, she now goes to run to tell. Why? Because she drank from that well. When I drank from the well, when Christ came into my life, when he changed my life, when he turned my life around, I didn't have my future planned out. I didn't know. All I know is I'd been told something. If you had a cure for cancer and you told no one, it'd be one of the most selfish things you could do. I know something even more selfish. It's to know Jesus and not tell anyone about him. And so I heard what it was. I knew this Jesus. I encountered Christ, and now I had to share Christ. In my own context, in my own way, not everyone's the same. This young man's going to go out on the streets. He's going to shout it from the rooftops. We need him, but we don't need every single one of you to be him. Because if you are all him, the church is crazy. The church is loopy. That's what they're going to say about you. They're going to say you're crazy. They're going to say, he's too much. He's extreme. Keep being what God's called you to be. If you've been called to be extreme. They said it about me in my early day. They used to say, he's too much. He's too black and white. There's grey areas, Aaron. No, there's not. No, there's not. I don't need to go to Bible college for 5 years or whatever to know thou shalt not murder means thou shalt not murder. I don't need to go. In the same way, there are other topics in the Bible what the world now have watered down. And now this is acceptable and that's acceptable. But the Bible says it's not acceptable. I don't need to go to Bible college to get confused about it. I just need to read the word. The disciples, what was it that the Pharisees said about the disciples? They looked at them. They said, who are these men? Like, they're unlearned. But the Bible then says, but one thing we notice is they spent time with Jesus. That's what happens. When you spend time with Jesus, he fills you up. He does something inside of you that no one can ever take from you. We need our extreme Christians out on the street, like knocking on the wall, telling people, like, you need to know Jesus. Turn. Like, he's coming. Some people in the world might walk past someone that's out on the street, like the nicks of the world. Yeah? People would listen to, oh, he's too much, and carry on. But it's people like Nick that will knock walls down. He'll knock walls down. He'll move through. And I'm not saying, by the way, that that's what everyone would think of Nick at all. I'm just saying, I remember when Nick used to go out on the streets and I seen him preaching before out on the street. For some people, they look at that and think it's too much. Christians in the church would shout him down for that. Christians in church say, no, you don't need to do that. No, we need all parts. We need the person. Precisely. The nose can't say to the eye, I don't need you, because where the sense of smell be or the sense of sight be? We need all parts. We need all parts to do what God has called them to do. And if every single one of us took our opportunities, my days, imagine the impact, greater measure we'd have. Don't be scared. Don't be fearful. The disciples, it was boldness they kept asking for. When they were thrown in prison, they asked for boldness. The young man said about boldness when he shared his story. Ask for boldness, or more boldness. What did the disciples do after Jesus' death? They went into hiding. They went back to the things they used to know. They were hiding because they were scared and they were fearful. And then they had an encounter with Holy Spirit at Pentecost. And everything changed. Everything changed. Then you couldn't shut them up. There was a fire in their bones. And the fire can never go out. Leviticus 16 verse 13 says, the fire on the altar can never go out. The fire on our altars can never go out, church. We have been given this grace, this mercy, this special gift of eternal life. We've been given the truth. It is good to gather together and worship the way you worship, to be passionate and so on fire, to dance about the young ladies there just dancing about, loving Jesus, like just singing, belting it out. Thankfully, they're decent singers. If they weren't decent singers, I would have moved. Because they were going, that is someone that had an encounter with Jesus. Like, there's an overflow. It's, I've got to tell the world about Jesus. I just got to praise him. I've got to give him the glory. I just thank you. Never lose that. Never lose your first love. There was a church in Revelation. They looked like they were doing good. It looked all good. And Jesus said, but you're naked. You're blind. He spoke about it, losing their first love, the church of Laodicea. And then he said, remember. Remember where you've come from. Remember how far you've fallen. Remember, church, today when you were lost. Remember when you were lost. Remember that time when you found Jesus. And then do what I would say to every married couple. Fall in love with your spouse every day. Fall in love over and over and over and over again. In the same way with Jesus. New relationship. His mercies are new every day. Fall in love with him every day. Take the picture of the manna falling from heaven for the Israelites. And God said, you go and you collect a bit of it. Just enough. One omer or whatever the weight was, measurement, that's the word I'm after, thank you. All parts of the body are needed, whatever the measurement is. And so he said, don't take too much, because if you do, it will go rotten. And as the day went on, it would melt away. And some of them went out and they collected more than they needed to. And it went rotten, melted away. They're in trouble for not listening to God. But the principle of that is, like, you go out and you just take just what is enough for that day, for the manna. Why? Because it just kind of represents our every day. Every day I need a fresh encounter with God. Every morning I need to get up and start my day looking up to heaven, collecting that manna, that word, that bread for us. Jesus is the ultimate bread, the true bread, the bread of life. He's a well that will never run dry. We have been saved. We've been set free. Now let's take the freedom that he's given us at every opportunity that we have. It's a halftime talk. It wasn't a theological Bible teaching moment this morning. It was a halftime interval. I'm clapping my hands. I'm raring you up and I'm saying, guys, 45 minutes, we can be history maker. Like, we can change history. We can change her screen, shell corner. We can take it all for Jesus. Let's make a difference. It's half time. We're 3-0 up against Freiburg, so we're definitely going to win the European Cup. It's half time. It's half time. Let's go and get our hands on the prize. That's what the Bible speaks about. I beat my body, Paul said. He said, like, I beat my body, I make it my slave, that I might not lose that prize. I keep my eyes focused heavenward. Church, freely we've received, freely we must give. Father, we pray, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. You're the way, you're the truth, you're the life. We never get tired of it. Father, I thank you for LBC, her screen. I thank you for their passion. And really, I think the word that Nick mentioned about someone saying that came in, I think it sums up this place better than any other word. The hunger that is in here from new believers and older believers. It's not just a certain section. There's a hunger amongst all believers within this place. Lord, I pray, what our eyes, what our spirit has felt and seen today, I just pray that that would be replicated in every congregation in LBC. That same passion, that same hunger, that same, I'm here to meet Jesus. And Lord, we pray for this church. We pray for fruit for this church. We pray for favor for them. Every resource that is needed from heaven. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name. As soon as they see the green light, they just put one foot in front of the other, not worrying how it's going to come, just trusting that the one that said go is going to provide and make the way. Lord, let them always be a church full of faith, faith over fear. Lord, let them always be a church that is creating fruit, making fruit, seeing fruit, changing fruit. Lord, we thank you that you first died for us. Where would we be today if it wasn't for you? I thank you for LBC, her screen, and every church that they're planting. And we just ask, Lord, for greater measure of favor, greater fruit, even here in this, the home church, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name. And Lord, we ask that you'd raise up the right people to continue the work in all our fellowships, all our congregations. We don't want to die in this generation. We want to continue the work, whether we're here or we've gone home. But the work continues because there's a people that need to know the way, the truth, and the life. Hallelujah. Amen.